Bill, before Paul Newman started making salad dressing, he made movies. And one of the movies that he, one of my favorite movies that he made, Cool Hand Luke. I don't often quote movies, but one of the lines in Cool Hand, it wasn't Paul Newman's line, but one of the lines was, we have a failure to communicate. The old prison guard, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Well, what would prove that the Bible is the Word of God be without a word study? Now, I got this. I'm glad I'm going to go pick it up, because my subject here is the biblical plan or a new creation. Now, my hope is the thing here, it says the biblical plan to become a new creation. Well, now, I read the Baptistic Four as ice there. So, my approach was the biblical plan for, because you're a new creation, there's something beyond this. This sounds to me like how to become. If I was going to do how to become, I'd get up and read the booklet for 40 minutes. And be done. But what I did was I said, the biblical plan for a new control. What am I living for? Never mind. That's a good question. What am I living for? All right. Ezekiel 37. The biblical plan for a new creation. When we wind this thing down, what's the story? Ezekiel 37. Now, hand the whole of the point. He brought me out in the spirit of the whole. Set me down in the midst of the valley of the whole point. And he caused me to pass by all around. And he told, there were very many in the open valley. And he told there were very high. Son of man, he bones with. And this is old Lord, And then he says, he prophesied only these bones and saved them, only these dry bones. Hear the word of Jehovah. And the word of Jehovah says to these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath to you and you will live. I will lay muscles upon you, bring of flesh on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, you will live. And you will know that I am Jehovah. So, I prophesied as I was commanded. And then I prophesied, there was no one. And behold, an earthquake. And the Lord came to hell. Boom, boom. And I could tell, behold, there were muscles on him. Flesh came up, and skin covered him. There was no breath. He said to me, prophesy the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, the word of Jehovah says, thus, come to the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they might live. So I prophesied, commanded me to breath into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet in exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones, whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones have dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, The Lord Jehovah says, behold, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you will know that I am Jehovah, when I have opened your grave and caused you to come up from your grave, O my people. And I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will place you in your own grave, and you will know that I, Jehovah, have spoken and performed it. The biblical plan for a new creation. Let's pray. Oh, great God, I am so grateful and thankful. Father, to be born at such time as this, as the plan for the new creation, Father, for that which you have been working through the ages, or is coming through fruition, Father, through your people, through your Holy Spirit, and God, just to be alive and to be chosen before the foundation of the world to participate in this divine order. I pray, Father, that you would be with us this morning as we look at these things, that we see our purpose and keep our purpose in the forefront. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The biblical plan for a new creation is war! War! First Peter 3:21 says, "For you were called unto this, because Christ also suffered on our behalf, leaving a model for you in order that you should follow after his footprint." War. Matthew 11:11. "Assuredly, I am saying to you, that a greater man has not raised up among those born of women than John the Immerser, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." Why? The biblical plan for the new creation, the biblical plan for those who are greater than John, is war! Romans 8:5, "The ones who are according to the flesh are mindful of the things of the flesh. Those who are according to the Spirit are mindful of the things of the Spirit." The mindset of the flesh is death. The mindset of the Spirit is what? Because the mindset of the flesh is hostility towards God. That's subject to the law of God. Neither is it able to be. And the ones who are in the flesh are not able to please God. Equipped for war, not equipped for life on this earth to be lived to the flesh's fullness. Ephesians 3:20, "Now, to the one who is able to do exceptionally beyond all things that we are asking or perceiving, according to the power which is working in us." You feel it working this morning? Is it working? "The glory is to him in the congregation in Jesus Christ to all generations forevermore. Amen." Watch. Be sober. Your opponent, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may swallow. "To whom stand against, solid in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are to be completed in the world by your brotherhood." War! You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt is flavorless, then with what will it be salted? Is it not still strong enough to be used for anything except to be cast outside and will be complete, truly perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Prepared for war. No war has ever been won by the population simply reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. It's got to be more than pledging that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's got to be more than pledging allegiance to that. It's got to be the conviction to carry that through. Before we're enlisted in this divine, mighty, resurrected army, I didn't stop a resurrected, can't stop a resurrected army. But you know what? A resurrected army can lay down on the ground. It can quit on itself. Brethren, I want to encourage you. I want this to be encouraging. I want to encourage you to develop the mindset of when we took that oath of that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that limits our perspective to do one thing, and that is to please our captain. This is war! This is not something we can engage in. Nobody's signed up for the reserves. You're either active, you're either on active duty, or you need to repent. There is a real enemy. And I'm afraid sometimes that the real enemy that we even kind of look at, you know, I read somewhere where we think the enemy. And when we think about the enemy, I think we still didn't think about the depiction of, you know, horns and fork tail and pitchfork. Rachel says we were such a huge number when we found the Walmart and we were working. And had the energy to do it. Even super heroes get old. They might replace the actors, but you know. Probably didn't know who Paul Newman was. All we have here is a family. And I don't want to be negative. But we need to find the enemy and prove that the Bible is the Word of God. If we're really going to believe the proof that is set before us, then we need to take our definition of the enemy from the proof that we have. The Bible calls the enemy, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age. God's Word calls Satan the God of this age. You hear that? Who's in charge? You know what? The God of this age is the God of this age. He's referred to as the ruler of the world in John 12:31. The principal power of the air. The evil one who controls the entire world, 1 John 5:19. The tempter. The enemy who prowls like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's described as the thief who only comes to kill and to destroy. This is not an enemy that's going to be defeated by a plethora of lone rangers. It's only going to be done by, this is a divine metaphor of the resurrected spiritual army. This is the biblical plan for the new creation. There are folks here who would have nothing to do with me because we have nothing in common except a common purpose. But we have that common purpose, that common goal, that common agenda that's to win the war. Brother, we have gotten so used and so conditioned to use that word war, to fight never-ending, never-victorious battles. The war on poverty. War on drugs. War on terrorism. The way this war is won is that our side wins simply because we've been guaranteed the victory doesn't mean that we are, that it depends on our participation to bring this to an end. There's not a buzzer because we've already won that we can relax here and just, oh, Jesus, we just come. Yeah, you know, I'm more and more convinced anybody who would tell me that because they think this is so tough, they don't want Jesus. You know, because they ain't going where they think they're going. God, this life can be tough. But war is hell. But war is war. It's supposed to be tough. It's not fall with your thumbs and looking at the screen. Is to influence God's people. The influence that he has in this realm is already there. The war is not against civilization. That's it. The war is against you. And those of us who have enough sand in our claw to stand up and say, I don't care what anybody else says, the Bible is the Word of God, and I can prove it. You better be able to prove it. We need to define the influence within the confines of the king that the enemy is using to attack his frontal attack. Now, I subscribe to the non-aggression principle of this. I just don't think that we should be aggressive against other people. I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm talking about, you know, we should be. But in the spiritual realm, we have to flip that over, see? Because it's not aggressive principle to be practiced in the church. The whole thing is going to be. I'll mess with him. He don't mess with me. And you know, boy, look. I said this before here, but the gates of hell are not an offensive weapon. Satan ain't coming after you with the gates of hell. Now Jesus said that his word, you know, that his church, that the gates of hell would not prevail. But that doesn't mean that the gates of hell is a defensive weapon. Now, you know who ought to be attacking the gates of hell? Plenty of opposing armies. Tell you what, if you haven't seen the gates of hell, it ain't because the transport planes quit running there. It's because you've been gone. And the biblical plan for new creation is still on the planet. We're not looking for two good men, we're looking for everyone. Standards are even higher than the new people. Jenny wants to influence God's people alive, Acts 5:3. The enemy wants to influence this army to cheat on their spouses, 1 Corinthians 7:5. Written to Christians before, right? The enemy's attack in the battle plan to influence God's people, gossip, 1 Timothy 5:13, not to forgive others. Not to become bitter, Ephesians 4:26. Not to fall into legalism, Galatians 4:7-10. Not to embrace false teaching, 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. Not to become spiritually blind, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And not to take oaths. Now you think, what's that in there, taking oaths? I mentioned this when I was playing Mark Fuller the other night. The one thing that says don't do, if you ever testify in a court, they want you to put your hand on the Bible and swear on the Bible. The one thing the Bible says don't do when it comes to that, that they want you to do. You tell me who's in charge of this. And you tell me he's not sorry. Some of these things you just think, ooh, well, it comes down to, the girl Columbine asked her, is she a Christian? You know, and she said yes and shot her. And the guy said, well, I would have said no and went out behind her and go. And sometimes, we think, well, that's the way things go. The point is that the kingdom of darkness is an ever present. Sometimes subtle, but ever opposing adversary in every area of our lives. And then, Christian, come on. Bella, who was kind of taking me, Mary Jo, through a lot of the foundation of principles. I remember one day he said, one of the most practiced sins in the church is the sin of gradualism. He said, gradually, you kind of say, well, that manual heard of thing. And taking in, we are forced to kill men, women, children when it comes to sin. That's the idea there. You know what little sins grow up to be? You better kill them while they're old. Now, 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message. This is the message which we have heard from him and are reporting to you, that God not something that can be done on occasion. We are not issued spiritual flashlights that we can turn on and off. He is the light, and He is dwelling in His army. And we have been empowered not to endure, but to attack it. The biblical plan for the new creation is war. I want you to recognize that God baked some things into the cake. That is, they are inherent to the creation. We are hardwired to act on our greatest desire. We are hardwired to want what we envision as most positive. That's why present, positive, affirmative works. Our weapon is not willpower. Now, there's a certain amount of willpower that's required, but you know what? You don't have to be a much of a marketer with an atomic bomb. I mean, folks don't always have to be more. What do you think we've been about?
Can nobody shut up?
I don't care what anybody else is doing. What are you going to do? That's all I ain't even doing about it. But what?
Obedience of Christ and having in readiness
to avenge all disobedience whenever your obedience is fulfilled. The biblical plan for the new creation. War! It's war! And to think that it's anything less than war, or to think it's a continual Bob Hope USO to the truth, is very much mistaken. Look, our brain is always yapping, and it never shuts up. And that's not just for those of us who hear voices. It's always yapping. It's always like a. I mean, the whole Eastern mysticism is trying to enter your mind. If that was easy as flushing the toilet, there'd be no. Sometimes I get people, ooh. But honestly, your mind is always, yeah. Your mind's always telling you something. You're always, you have a personal narrative, a personal story. Your mind never shuts up. But you know what the good thing is? It's your mind. You know what's going to happen? Somebody want to hear this? God, please, please take my mind. And you know what? No. It's your mind. It's your responsibility. It's not his to say, okay, God, make me think these thoughts. No, it's your mind. And your mind is always given. So we got to take control over what our mind produces in the power of the Spirit of God. Well, I can't help what I've been given. Yes, you can. Because the Bible proves that we can. Philippians 4:8 says, furthermore, brothers, as many things as are true, as many things as are honorable, as many as are righteous, as many as are pure, as many as are lovely, as many as have good repute, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, reason on these things. Free will is the battleground. The weapon is the Word of God. And the adversary is this present age. The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these. Practice these things, and the God of peace. And the God of peace will be with you. Biblical plan for a new creation. War. God is spirit. And it's essential for the ones who are worshiping him to worship in spirit and in truth. The spirit of truth is something we are to walk in every day. It's not to put on the armor of God and then take it off on Thursday. Our brain is always yapping. It's always yapping. It's always yapping. It's even yapping when you're asleep. We live in a narrative. That's how we make sense of our lives. In categories. It's how we make sense. And that narrative determines our values. It determines our images, our thought process, and what we want, and what we don't want, and what we do, and what we don't do in our lives. Our narrative forms our identity. And our yes and brain is what forms that narrative. And that yes and brain never shuts up. A lot, it seems as though some of the resurrected army isn't even aware that they're living in a narrative, especially one of their own creation. How do we understand? I have a problem with admitting the problem. Man, admitting the problem is supposed to do it. Again, I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to take a look here. And our brain is always yapping. They never shut up. And we're in a constant war. And part of that war is the narrative, is our perspective. How do we understand our own narrative? Here's some questions that I've been asking myself. What do you think about this? Ourselves as a perpetual victim. Always feeling and noticing and commenting on just how unfair and unjust life is. Intra army battles. Young people tend to live in a narrative of how they're going to
Where's Wally?
They're vengeance for themselves, and drive to consume. Not all these narratives have their place, but heading to the extreme. When that becomes the primary narrative, of a person who we forgot that there is a war to fight. Did you hear about Miriam? Excuse gossip from the news. Everything I got help. I got to find a cause or a cure for cancer. I got to protest for the Second Amendment or Humane Society or environment. Consumed by this particular cause, and that narrative gives us the identity. People live there very often. You know from a constant, this thing's going to come up. But there's a conspiracy narrative. It's always telling us who's controlling the banks, who's controlling politics, who Roswell, who's the Antichrist. Now, all these things can be used as mechanisms to be the reason why I'm here and in your face. And able to join this group and talk about this, which is why the thing Michael brought up. Sometimes we gotta know a little bit about a lot of things so that we can inject ourselves into the marketplace, because that is where the war is gonna be fought. It's in the marketplace. The sports narrative. I gotta get more narrative. Bigger cars, better house, more stuff. Living through my kids' marriage. I wasn't able to do it. By golly, my kids are going to be able to do it. Justin, you never coached anybody, any kids like that in baseball, did you? Where the parent is the trouble? Because they still remember when they struck out or they weren't given the opportunity. They couldn't play ball, or this. Oh, come on, man. Our money is, oh my God, it never shuts up. We need to identify what motivates us. So those miracles are being brought to us by the prince and power of the air. Not that he's in our minds, but this is the thing that's always before us. And the narrative kind of saying it doesn't spice up our lives because we feel like we're part of something bigger. And the scary part is that these narratives often aren't something that we've chosen. We are in another world. The biblical plan for a new creation is war 24/7. Most casualties of war occur when you're not expecting the enemy. I mean, expect it could have been Jesus. And if it's expected. But it's when things are going good, along the road to mighty resurrect run, can't let these other narratives consume us. We're going to be intentional about not being pulled aside, keeping our minds fixed on the truth of God's word. The truth is, you are loved in the image of God. You are the beloved. You are the bride. We are the pinnacle of the consummation of the angels who will testify to the angels of God's grace, mercy, love, and we will testify of our faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God, and without that faith being demonstrated, that a war in heaven is not going to be settled, even though Satan was cast out of the consummation of the ages. We're still in a mop-up operation down here right now to mop this thing up. If we don't get it mopped up, we just gonna keep mopping. I'm time. The truth is, we as the mighty resurrected army, the bride of Christ, are surrounded by God's perfect love every second, every minute. Every nanosecond of our lives. The truth is that as the bride of Christ, as the mighty resurrection, we're seated far above all things in Christ and are blessed in every spiritual blessing in Christ. The truth is that the mighty resurrected army, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, His chosen, are filled with His Spirit. The Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of fear, but the Spirit of power and love and self-control. The truth is, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. The truth is, we are to be living demonstrations of God's self-sacrificial love. We're enlisting in the revolutionary kingdom movement on earth. Talk about. Think about. Use three-by card cards to remind yourself. Be consumed with that every minute of every day. Download that app to your phone. And be as preoccupied with that, at least as preoccupied with Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
We are the new creation, resurrected army with our purpose ever before us. If it becomes the default background chatter, it will change us and drive us to overcome. It will change what's between our ears. It will cause us not to want to do the things that hold us back. It will actually help us overcome. The biggest issue within this war is remembering these things. And we shouldn't have any trouble remembering these things. Because this is not simply an academic proof that this is the Word of God, but it's being proved to you when nobody but the heavenly realm is watching, and you can be sure that the enemy is watching. So take it to the gates of hell and make Satan sorry that he ever thought about attacking you.
But the other two.
Well,
I spend my time with
the Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he said, "Hey, this is my body.
You touched it.
You told me. You have.
Well, me have.
Right here.
That's right.
Likewise.
He's
pretty good at that.
Thank you.